It is time to talk sports on the Monday morning show. Here to talk soccer with us, Dan Gannon. Morning, Dan. Thanks for being here.
Hey, morning, Heidi. Morning, Michael. And I need a life coach. Are you kidding me? I can't be Michael's life coach with the World Cup over. So any listeners out there know of a good life coach who can help a completely, fully addicted to soccer person recover from the end of the World Cup, please put them in touch with me.
Yeah, give us a call at the station, 800-662-5799.
I'm going through boxes of tissues over here. I'm just pouring through the boxes in the KBXE studio, just sobbing. I barely could pull it together to get on the air and talk to you about the end of the World Cup this morning. So,
but does it get any better? An incredible World Cup we had this year.
I think this is easily one of the best World Cups since probably 2002 in Japan and Korea, as far as upsets, quality of play. You know, the stadiums are packed. There is, to my knowledge, there is no real drama between fans. There is no, you know, none of that hooliganism. The English fans actually behaved themselves for once this century. I mean, it was ridiculous in how smooth everything, at least from afar, from what I could tell here in Bemidji, went with the whole tournament. And yeah, the football was spectacular, right, Michael?
It was incredible. And I was pulling for Croatia, and they had a couple of unfortunate breaks on those set pieces early on in the game. And they played well, but France, in the end, scored 4 goals.
Indeed. Allez le bleu, allez le bleu. That was the team that I had picked as sort of my... like if I had to do a bracket and was entering it like you would do for the NCAA tournament, I picked Brazil, but the sort of like who I wanted to win it was France, and that's who won it yesterday by a score of 4-2 over Croatia. Like Michael said, and Croatia was the smallest nation to make it to the World Cup final since the 50s, and back in the 50s they would only play 3 or 4 games, and to make it to the World Cup final in this day and age, you got to play twice as many games to make it to the final. And so it was really, I mean, like mad props to Croatia, who was a team that played with so much heart. They said by the time their previous 3 games before they got to the final all went into extra time. So a normal soccer game goes 90 minutes, right?
That's right.
And Croatia had to play an extra half an hour, three games in a row. So they basically played a whole extra game of soccer that no other team had to do that, just because their games always were tied at the end, because they would often give up an early goal or sometimes 2 early goals and then come back, because Croatia just was a team that was not going to quit, was not going to quit. So they were incredible in the amount of heart they showed. They're also a very talented team. Like their midfielder, Luka Modric, who plays for Real Madrid, ended up winning player of the tournament, I believe. He got the golden ball.
That's right.
And so for a player from the losing team in the championship game to win player of the tournament gives you an idea of what a player he is. And you know, for those of you that don't watch soccer, or maybe only watch it when this kind of spectacular theater of the World Cup comes on every 4 years, it's remarkable to see a player like Luka Modric, because you'd pass by him on the street and not in a million years think he was one of the highest level professional athletes in his sport. He's probably stands about 5'9" and weighs, I don't know, 145 pounds,
maybe,
150 pounds. Yeah. But he is just magical with the ball, magical, and a fierce competitor. Like, he's not going to be pushed around out there despite his size, but he's just so clever and quick with the ball, and he has that that in soccer they talk a lot about vision. He just sees things before they happen, and he knows where to go with the ball and what to do with it. He's a remarkable player.
And for folks that don't know this, the soccer pitch or the field is 100, basically I think it's 120 yards by what, 75 yards?
Yep.
And that's a huge field to play on.
Yeah, and they say at that level, at the professional level, for men and women, that the athletes average between 6 and 8 miles a game. So imagine going out for a 6 to 8 mile run, but then there's someone else alongside you kicking you and pushing you the whole time. the whole time, kicking you in the legs, pushing you over from your shoulders, knocking you on the ground. Then you get up and they'll do it again. And you still got another 5 miles to go in your run. So that's you know, if you don't, again, if you're not a fan of soccer, it's an intensely physical game. And it's crazy to imagine yourself out for a 7 mile run getting kicked and shoved the whole time.
And then you have this thing landing on your head.
Right. So hats off to France. They won the tournament, and in my mind, they were the best team in the tournament. They had crazy talent at every position, and they showed it every game. I think they played the nicest football. They were fun to watch. They got this kid, Kylian Mbappe. M-B-A-P-P-E is his last name, Mbappe. And holy guacamole, again, this is a name, whether you watch soccer or not, he's going to be up there with Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo. This is a name we're going to be hearing for 10, 15 years to come, because he is
years
lightning
old.
In a bottle. Lightning in a bottle. And he won the Young Player Award. I think he scored 4 goals, and every one of his goals was just remarkable with the speed and finesse that he showed when he got on the ball. The whole stadium would hold their breath, and you knew something was going to happen. So keep your ears open for Kylian Mbappe.
And the last teenager to score a goal in the World Cup final was Pele.
Was it really?
That's right. That was the last teenager who scored. And we have to give credit to both England and Belgium. Was it Belgium?
Yeah, Belgium won the third place. I think it was 2-0.
Yes, and it was a good game. I mean, it was competitive. Oftentimes in that third place game, it's the player's heart is out of it, and I thought it was pretty competitive.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, Michael, I have never watched the third place game in the World Cup. I've never, ever watched it. I don't know why. And it's often, you know, really good teams, and they're still going to be competitive and play hard. But for whatever reason, maybe it's World Cup fatigue has fully hit me by then, and I only want to watch the final. But so I wasn't able to watch the Belgium-England game, so I'm going to have to take your word for it. It was a good game, huh?
Yes, it was. And, normally I would not have watched it, but I knew it was the last of the World Cup, and I wanted to savor the flavor. And both teams really wanted that game, but Belgium was the better team, but England played a good game. And again, I think that we have been treated to some pretty outstanding play. And what do we anticipate for the possible soccer football in the United States? Do you think that the U.S. will be able to field a team?
Well, of course they're going to field a team. It's going to be, the question is the team going to be any good or not? And I think what is going to happen as far as U.S. soccer is they're going to start playing a lot more young players that a lot of people have never heard of, unless you're a serious soccer nerd. They're going to start playing players who are playing over in Europe, who are playing in Germany, perhaps in other kind of maybe Scandinavian leagues, like sort of secondary leagues, I guess you would say. But there's a whole young crew of players, including this kid, Timothy Weah, whose father is Georgie Weah, who's now the president of Liberia. And in his time was a professional footballer before he became a politician. Georgie Weah was FIFA Player of the Year. He used to play for AC Milan in Italy and was one of the best footballers ever to come out of Africa. And now his son, Timothy Weah, has U.S. citizenship and is playing for the U.S. national team and has already been, as they say in soccer, been capped, which means you played for your national team and you're kind of beholden to that. You can't just switch to another country. So he can't choose Liberia now. He's already been capped to play for the U.S. national team. So Timothy Weah would be a player for us that in some ways might be similar to a player like Kylian Mbappe, the French superstar striker who we just mentioned a minute ago. But he's a player with a lot of speed and a lot of skill on the ball and likes to put it in the back of the net. So as far as I know, I don't even think the U.S. national team has hired a full-time coach yet. I think
I was wondering
still,
about that. Yeah.
Yeah, they still have just a kind of a placeholder guy. I think it's Dave Sarakin is the guy who's coaching him now, but he's not going to be the head coach. So that decision still needs to be made, and that's going to be a big decision for the U.S. Soccer Federation, who they're going to bring in. And I think this summer is the Gold Cup tournament, which is a national team tournament for our part of the world. So it's Canada, U.S., Mexico, Nicaragua, all the Central American countries, and then maybe they invite one or two countries from South America, also the Caribbean. So there'll be like Jamaica and Cuba, and those countries will be in the Gold Cup tournament. So I would imagine by the time that tournament comes next summer that they will have hired a full-time coach, of course, by then. So who knows? Who knows what lays ahead for the U.S. national team?
And if folks want their kids to play soccer or learn the game, is that possible in northern Minnesota?
It's super possible. Bemidji has a really, really popular and big youth soccer program. They have a rec league, so you could be, I think it starts at age 4. You can play rec soccer, and it's one or two nights a week. And then as you get older, you can choose to do traveling soccer. I'm a coach for one of the traveling teams here in Bemidji. I'm pretty sure Grand Rapids has a youth soccer program there in Grand Rapids. It's really fun in the summer, and it's, you know, give the kids the opportunity to sort of figure out if it's a game they're interested in and want to keep playing or not. And then obviously once you get over closer to Duluth, there's big programs.
And I also
out of Duluth and to our west in like Grand Forks as well has
and Detroit Lakes I know has a team. Walker Hackensack Akeley's had a team for years, and the Brainerd area, of course.
Brainerd has youth soccer league.
It's a great alternative for young people that may not want to play football, American football, but it's a team effort. It's wonderful to watch.
Yeah, and I know when I spend all summer going to soccer tournaments with my traveling team from Bemidji, and we're mostly down in the cities for the tournaments, and we repeatedly get comments of surprise and what would be a word, just not shock, but we repeatedly get comments of like, oh, wow, you guys really know how to play. You're from Bemidji. And it's like, yeah, we know how to play the beautiful game up here in the woods. So if you have children and you're looking for summer activities for them to do, check in your local communities, especially sort of those hub communities like Grand Rapids, like Bemidji, like Detroit Lakes, Brainerd, and for sure there's youth soccer programs in those communities. So get them signed up. The game's not going away. It's not a question of when is it going to be popular in the U.S. That question's over. It's been popular here for many, many years now. And actually, I was just at a Minnesota United game on Saturday, and they beat Real Salt Lake, and the stadium was sold out. It was 24,000 people there. It was a great game. 5 goals were scored. It's just such a brilliant sport. Love it, love it, love it.
All right, Dan, hang in there.
Yeah, cancel my life coach thing. Okay. I don't need a life coach. There's always more soccer. More soccer. So I'm gonna be good. I'm gonna get my fix one way or another. And I don't need a life coach. I can do this.
All right, let's talk soccer again soon. All right.
Okay. Thanks, you guys.
Yep.
Thanks, Dan Gannon, reporting on the World Cup on the Monday Morning Show.